palaces. Like, they have brought everything together, and then they have come to this conclusion that, okay, this is going to be for your benefit. Yeah.
And they don't assume it as something bad. Like, they don't think they're being kind to you.
Mm. So I guess nowadays the definition of everything is changing. Like, people are no longer looking at kindness the same way as they looked at it maybe 20 years ago. Like, everything is different. Now people would understand each other more and more, I guess.
Yeah, you know, and if you really want to understand that, I think we should refer to the best role models that we have, you know, from the Prophet and from the Imams. They really talk about these things, about how to be kind to others. There's a book called Mafatihul Hayat, the keys to life. And, you know, in that, there's so many advices related to these
kind of things. So much of details that are very nice.
It's actually a show on IRIB radio, so you can actually listen to it in your own time, where they talk about keys to life.
Exactly.
But yeah, I was reading that book and I was really sometimes astonished to the level. For example, like in one of those places, the Imam says that, you know, you have to, like, half of your faith is tolerating others, for example.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So being kind sometimes involves tolerating others. It doesn't mean you have to actually go out and do something
for
them.
Exactly.
You just have to be able to tolerate, like, not lose your temper. That could be kindness, right? Being silent sometimes is a form of being kind.
Exactly.
I noticed that, for example, with my own kids. Like, when they're fighting or they're, you know, making me angry, being silent is the best form of kindness I can do to them, right? So it really depends on... I think one thing we didn't mention is that each person has their own needs, right? Like, kids have their own needs. Like, for example, our wife, our parents, our husband, for example, they have their own needs. If you recognize those needs and you behave in that manner towards them, you can be kind towards them while, you know, you're fulfilling their needs.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really important, fulfilling other people's, like, basic, like, psychological, physical, whatever needs those are.
Yeah.
Those are important.
Because we're responsible toward each other. So to that extreme, yes, we have to care for each other's happiness. Like, I can do everything to make my parents happy. But again, there's that point that you mentioned, which is I should not go to this very extreme of forgetting about myself and defining the entire world based on other people's happiness.
Yeah,
like, this is going to be wrong.
We have to define our own world first and then do the subjective things, because the ideas are also different. Like, maybe I regard something as a kindness towards the people around me, while you may not do the same as well.
Yeah.
So first we should define our own world, prioritize our own life, and at the same time keep the idea that we are supposed to be kind towards people around us. And we should also know that the definitions are subjective.
Of course, yeah. And that's self...
Are the definitions subjective, though?
Yeah, for kindness, sure.
Oh, maybe... Well, I was to mean for kindness, but you, before that, you're saying we have to understand ourselves, right? And, and going back to the thing that I mentioned from our teacher, that if we have an incorrect understanding of ourselves or the world or those things, then we're going to have problems, right?
Yeah, when the focus is on self, that's a problem.
Maybe. I mean, like I said, it depends on when.
Yeah.
There are times when you do have to focus on yourself, and then there's times when you have to focus. So it all depends on the situation and having a correct definition of things, right? If you don't have a correct definition of things, you're going to struggle in other parts of your life.
No, by subjective, I don't mean that the definitions can be wrong. I mean, the definitions based on our lives differ. Like, your life has different aspects, mine has different as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So the only thing which is so important is that we should not feel like we are the center of this world and every other thing is circling around us. This is very wrong. So whenever you're sharing your kindness or your empathy or sympathy, whatever, don't just feel like that. We are a single human being in a large system of other human beings who are all working together, and we have interactions. We have responsibilities, and we have been asked by God to be kind to other human beings. That's all. But then we have to consider the borders and the extremes as well. Thank you for your cooperation, and thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us until another session. I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al Alameen, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah.
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي التي أما رايزك لتصي دليلتك وانسك. World Oats Day in the heat of Gaza war. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. World Oats Day of 2024 arrives while 6 months have passed since the start of Al-Aqsa storm in Gaza. This astounding operation has yielded very important outcomes for the region, as it has surely accelerated the end of the cancerous tumor of Israel to result in a very bright future for the region and the world at large. The 7th of October 2023 will last forever in the history of West Asia. On that day, the combatants of Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, attacking the Zionist regime, imposed the greatest defeat on Israel since its illegitimate birth in 1948. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, called it as an irreparable defeat, saying that Israel, after the operation, would be different from the Israel before. The fabricated Zionist regime, after this disgraceful defeat, which shook the regime to its foundations, launched bestial attacks on the people of Gaza, leading to over 33,000 martyrs and 76,000 injured, most of whom are women and children. Now, 6 months after the outbreak of war, what are the achievements of Al-Aqsa Storm? Please stay tuned for the first part of the two-part special feature on the World Oats Day to review these achievements. The most important achievement of Al-Aqsa Storm is to shatter the myth of invincibility of the Zionist regime army. This fake regime, through worldwide propaganda supported by the Western media, has sold to the world public opinion that Israel has the most powerful army in West Asia and one of the most powerful armies in the world. This media deception has continued for over 7 decades. Al-Aqsa Storm not only shattered this myth, but also it was a very big scandal for the Zionist regime's intelligence and security system, which used to boast of detecting any move against the regime. More than 1,500 Zionist forces were killed in Al-Aqsa Storm, and 550 others have also been killed for the past 6 months. The Israeli intelligence and surveillance organizations failed to monitor and detect this great operation, which had been designed several months earlier. Furthermore, these organizations have failed to find a place of keeping their captives by Hamas after 6 months, and that in a 300,000-kilometer area. Elijah Majnir, analyst of international military issues with the Egyptian daily Al-Misr Al-Yawm, said that the evaluation of the developments in the battlefront proves the military defeat of the Israeli regime in the war against Palestine. He adds that since Israel has not reached the goals such as liberation of its captives, defeating of Hamas and prevention of attacks on the settlements, it can be said that Israel has been defeated. Thank you. Another achievement of Al-Aqsa Storm is the great victory of Hamas, as the Zionist regime had promised to defeat it and liberate its prisoners, neither of which have materialized. Meanwhile, despite Israeli genocide in Gaza and the heavy propaganda against Hamas in the world media, opinion polls show that more than 70% of the people of Gaza continue supporting Hamas and Al-Aqsa Storm. This has been confirmed even by the Secularist Political Research Center close to the Self-Rule Authority of Palestine. This poll indicates that 71% of Palestinians have announced their satisfaction with Al-Aqsa Storm. Hamas achieved this victory while war with the Zionist regime is an asymmetric war, hence, beyond classical military standards. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said to the visiting head of Hamas Political Bureau, Ismail Haniyeh, that what caused the failure of the Zionist regime in attaining its military goals was the historical patience of the people of Gaza in the face of the Zionist regime's crimes and savagery. Another important achievement of Al-Aqsa Storm and 6 months of the Zionist regime's war against Gaza is that it destroyed the view that the Palestinian issue has ended. Al-Aqsa Storm turned Palestine to the most important global issue. For the recent years, particularly with the betrayal of some of the reactionary Arab regimes to normalize ties with Israel, the Palestinian issue was going to the margin and had almost lost its prominence as the priority of the Islamic world. Today, Palestine is a top issue of not just Islamic world, but the whole world. That's why today it is very ordinary to see demonstrations in France, Germany, Britain, Australia, and the US with hundreds of thousands of people pouring to the streets to demand for the rights of innocent people of Gaza and ending of the ongoing Israeli genocide in the region. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, said to Ismail Haniyeh that the patience and steadfastness of the people in Gaza is a grand phenomenon which has really dignified Islam and, in spite of the enemy's intention, has turned the issue of Palestine into the first world issue. Al-Aqsa Storm and 6 months of the Israeli war against Gaza have deepened and highlighted internal differences in the occupied territories. These differences have been there for the past years too. 5 parliamentary elections were held in 4 years, between 2019 to 2023, but Netanyahu's cabinet was set up with the collaboration of extremists. The war in Gaza has further revealed the extremist nature of Netanyahu's warmongering cabinet in the occupied territories. The recent trip of Benny Gantz of war cabinet to the US and Britain was an indicative of internal differences in the Israeli entity. He has turned into the main option of premiership after Netanyahu and Joe Biden administration and the European allies of Israel are very much interested in his coming to power. In reaction to his sudden trips, Benjamin Netanyahu tried to prevent appropriation of government facilities for Gantz and cooperation of the Zionist regime embassies in the US and Britain with him. This was done to show that Israel has a prime minister. However, the latest internal difference inside the Israeli cabinet is related to Gideon Moshe Sar. Sar, who was justice minister between 2021 to 2022, has announced to step down from the cabinet. The move prophesizes the disintegration of the shaky warmongering cabinet. Thank you. The solidarity and coherence of the Axis of Resistance was another great achievement of Al-Aqsa Storm and the Israeli war against Gaza. The players of resistance have, on the one hand, tried to prevent the expansion of war in the region, and on the other hand, they have taken important measures in support for Gaza. The Lebanese anti-terrorist movement, Hezbollah, and the valorous Yemeni Ansarullah are two important players of the Axis of Resistance, which have officially entered the war against the Zionist regime. This shows that resistance has not geographical boundary. Ayatollah Khamenei said in his speech on the first day of the Iranian New Year, "The resistance front has unveiled its true situation. Perhaps neither the Americans nor the Westerners nor the regional governments didn't know the power of the resistance and the ability of the resistance in the region as it really existed and exists. But now they have realized." Al-Aqsa Storm has also proved the defeat of the U.S. The United States has stood by the Zionist regime since the very start of the war on October 7, 2023, as it has called it the Israeli genocide as legitimate defense. The U.S. President Joe Biden traveled to the occupied territories a little after the outbreak of war, but his State Secretary Antony Blinken has traveled 7 times to the region during the past 6 months. These trips, on the one hand, meant the U.S. full support for and complicity with the Zionist regime in its unprecedented crimes in Gaza. On the other hand, however, these trips laid bare the differences between the two comrades in crime. The U.S. has 3 times vetoed the U.N. Security Council resolutions for ceasefire in Gaza. This was an ethical scandal for the U.S. government. The latest resolution, which was faced with the neutral vote of the American member of the UNSC, not only had not mentioned the name of Hamas, but also had called for halting a war in Gaza. And the climate in the UNSC session was clearly anti-Israel and anti-US. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, said in his speech in the beginning of the new Iranian year, "America adopted the worst possible condition in the issue of Gaza. America chose the worst possible condition in Gaza region. It did something that made it hated in the whole world. These people who demonstrate in the streets of London, Paris, and other European countries, and America itself in favor of Palestine, are indeed announcing hatred towards America. America has become hated in the world. It was hated in the region. It has become 10 times more hated."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
به پیغمبر میگم من شاهد سه چیز هستم، اما تعملون نمیگه تعملو.
In Ayah 61 of Surah Yunus, we read, "You do not engage in any work, neither do you recite any part of the Quran, nor do you perform any deed without our being witness over you when you are engaged therein." Allah in this ayah is the witness to three important deeds. One is all the good deeds that all the people do. The other is the deeds and performances that the Prophet of Allah does. And another one is the recitation of the Holy Quran. This means that the recitation of the Holy Quran is equal to all the good deeds of Prophet Muhammad and all the people around the world during all times. This point, which is also mentioned in Ayah 61 of Surah Yunus, shows the significance of reciting the ayahs of the Holy Quran. Therefore, all the good deeds of the Prophet Muhammad and the other people of the world are in one scale, and the recitation of the Holy Quran is in another scale. Thus, we must try to recite the Holy Quran as much as possible during the holy month of Ramadan. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Hajjah Fatima was born in 1948. This was the year Palestinians refer to as Al-Nakba, the catastrophe, when Israel wiped the Palestinian inhabitants from 400 villages. Some they entirely destroyed, others were repopulated with Jewish immigrants. Hajjah Fatima was born in a field while her father fought in the war. Within days of her birth, her family fled to Beit Anan in the West Bank, which is where she has remained her entire life.
بلدي مش بس احتلال 67.
First of all, this is my land and my country. It is not only the 1948 or 1967 borders from the sea to the river, 27,000 square kilometers. I am not ready to let go of a centimeter. This is historical Palestine.
Al-Quds.
Jerusalem, the most important one, the capital. This is Bab al-Shams and this is Bab al-Karameh. The Jordan Valley has been conquered and taken over by the Israelis. Here is Jenin. We will never let go of this area. And north is the Galilee, now ruled by Israel. My mother brought me into this world on the 14th of July 1948, the day of the Nakba. I was born in a field and left for 24 hours while my father fought in the war. I now fight with my words. Although this is my only weapon, I'm strong because I'm right.
Since her exile, Haji Fatima has witnessed dramatic changes in the landscape surrounding her home. From the construction of the Israeli wall, which eventually encircled her home, to the gradual building of Israeli settlements, which engulfed what was once Palestinian agricultural land. Her town was once considered the safest path to walk to the holy city of Jerusalem, Al-Quds.
The last time I visited Jerusalem, Al-Quds, was 7 years ago. But it is now forbidden by the Israelis. They forbid me from everything that I hold dear to me, praying in Al-Aqsa Mosque, buying sweet cakes from the old markets of Jerusalem, and walking through the ancient path of the old city. There is no place more beautiful than Jerusalem. I would love to be there just to see the markets, the shops, the old streets, and to pray in Al-Aqsa Mosque. Bab al-Karameh was built because it is the western entrance for Jerusalem. It is near Jerusalem, and this is why we built this village and named it Karameh. It means our pride.
Haji Fatima described the land to me, stating, "The land is our bed and the blankets our sky." Palestine to Haji Fatima is not exclusively about the land itself, but the Palestinians' relationship to their land. She told me that people can and will continue to live from the land, and only when their livelihood is taken, that will be the end of Palestine. Fatima sews each village and city into the map of Palestine, without borders, without boundaries, without settlements, without Israeli cities, and without the infamous wall built by Israel to separate what is now called Israel to the West Bank.
We want peace and they want peace. Our weapons is the rock and words. But we are rightful people. This is our land. Our ancestors are from here. Since 1968 they have been excavating tunnels, found a trace of evidence or antiquities. All of these antiquities are Arab, Muslim, Christian. We and our fellow Christians live together here. Jerusalem has the Church of Holy Sepulchre and it has Al-Aqsa Mosque. Whoever they want to imprison, let them imprison. Who they want to kill, let them kill. If they want to take a tree, we will plant 1,000. They break and we build. We are here for a long time. We are never going to be bored.
هذه أرضنا ما بنمل منها.
ليش خيطي لفلسطين.
They asked me, why do you see Palestine like this? This is my country, and I can draw it as I want and make it more beautiful.
Fatima joined Palestinian and international activists from around the world in building the protest village Bab el-Karama.
They didn't leave their land or houses, and therefore they became refugees in their own homeland. Jerusalem is near, only a few meters from here, so we consider Beit Iksa to be the western gate for Jerusalem. If they take this village, we wouldn't be able to reach Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is our capital, the capital of the Palestinian state. Whether they like it or not, it's ours and not theirs. We are here today because they are going to take this land to build the wall through it, and we do not approve that. It is the land of our fathers and grandfathers, and also the land of our sons and grandchildren.
About 1,200 hectares from Beit Iksa land, and it just leaves about 2,000 hectares for the city, for the village itself. This is what had happened, and this is what they are looking to do it. The train that passes from near here in this neighborhood was passed from the lands of Beit Iksa, and the Israelis want to keep the citizens here far away from the pass of the train and the wall. That's why they separate the land.
Well, I was at the Bab el-Sham's protest last week, and I myself had my head banged against a bus by a soldier. The bus I was put on to be taken away from Bab el-Sham's, there was a man with he had a busted eye and a bleeding nose, and the soldiers would not let him receive medical attention.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik,
Yawmiddin. In this day, Al-Jum'ah, they pray here in their land because they know keeping their land is part of their religious and beliefs. For though here in Beit Iksa, the village that was surrounded by the wall from the whole parts, from the whole directions, only one path. This path is come and go through the gate that is run by the Israeli soldiers. If you want to enter, you have to give them your ID and tell them why and when you are come to enter Beit Iksa. This is the exact separation. Beit Iksa is living in a big jail here.
It's very clear that the settlements and the theft of land are illegal. The UN has repeatedly condemned it. Members of Amnesty International and other human rights organisations, they've all condemned it. It's just every attempt made to fix the situation is blocked by the US.
Ed Knight described to me that he barely sees the situation on the ground in the news, including settlements, construction and Israeli apartheid.
I think since the experience of the initiative of Bab el-Shams, it has been exposed the Israeli settlements much more and the Israeli confiscation of the land much more. It became have lots of interest in, within the international media, international community. And I think this is what we are doing now. If you continue this kind of initiative, they will challenge them more and more. And they will bring it from like in a kind of a media coverage to political levels. And that's what we want. We want everybody to be accountable and responsible for this, because Israel is here, like any, by the support of Europe, by the support of the United States. Like, here, they are accountable, as Israel is accountable for what's going on.
The villagers assembled for prayers on the hill. Following this, they erected a tent structure and laid the first bricks for a new mosque they call Karama, meaning dignity.
You know, Beit Iksa's land is confiscated, like, and now I have no land whatsoever. This is the last piece of land that has been confiscated, which is 450 dirhams. So the strategy here is to come and to build the tents, as you see here, and to stay in the land. So people is living, staying here, sleeping here, staying 24 hours in this land, telling the Israelis one message, the Israeli occupation. This is our land. We are not going to give it easy. You can give orders of like any confiscations. You can give orders of expulsion, but we are going to defend our land. We are going to stay in our land. And this is an open battle, you know, with the Israeli occupation power. So we have no choice but to resist.
This is very symbolic because back in 1948, when the state of Israel was established, the villagers here had 15,000 dulums of land. Right away, 14,000 of those 15 were taken away. And recently, they're trying to take away another 700 of the, so basically they're going to be left with 300 dulums. The village here needs more than that to survive. They have a lot of land that they need to grow food and survive on that. So the Zionist plan is to basically build a wall around the village and between the village and their lands so they can't grow. They can't use it for agriculture to sustain themselves.
Even with immense international support, Israel handed the activists a notice of demolition. They destroyed the mosque and ordered all people to leave the area.
We've been here for 3 days. They always come. Today, Israelis raided our village twice. Of course we prevented them, as we will do every day. At the beginning, they used to build the wall and we would follow them. But now it is the opposite. They follow us. That is why we are staying here. They closed the checkpoint and prevented anyone from entering. Days ago, the eastern gates of Jerusalem, Bab al-Shams, it is called that because the sun rises from the east, and this one is Bab al-Karameh. So instead of Israel surrounding us, we will surround them because we are the people with the rights to the land. The one who has the right is the strongest.
Area is agricultural land, you know, and now we are surrounded with the settlements, and this area in the history the main road to Jerusalem, and the Israelis settlements cutting this main road and cutting the main road to the Ramallah.
We have come here today to construct Canaan village on our land, our Palestinian land, to practice our right to develop our land, to plant our land, to use our land. This is our natural right as human beings, to use our land. That's why we are here today. When we arrived to the area, Israeli occupation or fascist Israeli occupation forces has attacked us, has demolished the tents, stolen the tents, but we are telling them clear message. They have demolished Canaan village here. We will today, not tomorrow, we will build another village in another area in Yatta. Today.
We took the case to the High Court for petition to state that this is privately owned land. We were able to get an order from the High Court to not take the camp down for 6 days. However, the army stormed the camp under the pretext of security and announced it as a military closed zone for this period of time. I was shocked that I was unable to enter my own land.
Now we are living in miserable conditions. because we are cutting from the other areas from Ramallah and Jerusalem. We have went anywhere. Our agriculture, all of our agricultural land, now it's behind of the wall.
The Israeli soldiers told us it was a military closed zone until the 13th of February. I was shocked to see that he had a legal warrant from the head of the IDF to extend the matter to the 13th of February. After the end of the 6 days, the Israeli court granted the Israeli forces permission to take the tents down. This was permitted under a false and unreasonable pretext, security. The area is isolated. There are no Israeli highways or military bases, no danger towards Israelis whatsoever. It is open land. I strongly object to this excuse that it is a military zone. This is merely an excuse. This, for example, is a title deed from Turkey that proves that we are the landowners. This deed entitles Salah Ali Jemaa and all the people of Tor to this land, which includes my family for generations. This title proves that these people are the rightful owners. Only the owners of this land have the rights to it.
Baba Shams was completely encircled by the Israeli army. All protesters were evacuated, and Palestinians are now banned from the area. Although Mofid gained permission from the High Courts to remain on the land for an additional week, the Israeli police refused this petition and dispersed the protesters without warning or warrant.
2 weeks ago, there was an open day near the wall. We marched towards it and planted olive trees and buried with them the names of martyrs killed by Israel. The soldier attempted to stop us, but we continued digging. The soldiers came, but we did not allow them to destroy our work. We resist. Our work is on the land.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرج.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear brothers and sisters from all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran in Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad to have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Ali Nasir with me. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome everyone. Ali Nasir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Great.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغار حراء تألق
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
So everyone is great and with full energy. Inshallah, today we will be talking about Ayah 72, Surah Al-A'raf, and on page 159, right?
Yes.
159. Brothers and sisters, hope you have your Quran with you. Turn to page 159, Surah Al-A'raf, page... I said the page, yes?
Yes.
159. Ayah?
72.
Let's listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَقَطَعْنَا دَابِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَمَا كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ.
Nice recitation. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. You remember the story of Prophet Hud alayhi salam and his people?
Yes.
Yeah. In the previous verses, we learned that the people of Prophet Hud alayhi salam, not all the people, but those who were opposing the Prophet, so they asked Prophet to show them, to prove the punishment of God, yes?
Yeah.
Because they said, oh, if you are saying that if we were continue worshipping the idols and ignore Allah, He will send us a punishment. So, show us. Bring us the punishment. In this ayah, you will see. So, in ayah 71, Prophet Hud alayhi salam told them, yes, the punishment is going to hit you. And in this ayah, it's done. So, Allah Almighty says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فأنجيناه والذين معه بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَقَطَعْنَا دَابِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا وَمَا كَانُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Very beautifully. Then we delivered him and those who were with him. It means we rescued him. We saved Prophet Hud alayhi salam and those who were with him, the followers. بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا. Guys, when you believe in Allah Almighty, when you believe in Allah Almighty, and you follow His commandments, and when you accept the prophets, and when you do not oppose the prophets with no reason, come on, if you oppose the prophet, you gotta have, you gotta have
punishment.
No, you gotta have a reason for that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Without a reason, just simply because your forefathers were worshipping idols and you are denying the Prophet, and you say, come on, our forefathers were worshipping idols, we don't want you, go away, we don't want your God, we have our own gods. Just simply because of this kind of bigotry or prejudice, these things, are, they don't make sense. Yes?
Yeah.
So if you stop all these kind of silly things, nonsense things, put them aside and believe in God, accept your wisdom, what your wisdom says, accept it, all right? Follow what your wisdom says. So if you, in this case, if you do so, you will receive the iman, you will have the iman in your heart, and you will believe in Allah Almighty, and the result is that you will be
Successful.
Why? Because you received the blessings of Allah Almighty. بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. Allah's blessing showers upon every single creation. Alright?
Yes.
Got it?
Yes. Yes.
So, Allah, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We start everything, every good thing by the name of Allah, who is the most merciful, the most
beneficent.
Beneficent. Yes? Ar-Rahman and?
Ar-Rahim.
Bi-Rahmatin Minna. So this Rahman, the blessing of Allah, can be showered upon anyone. وَقَطَعْنَا دَابِرَ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَتِنَا. And we rooted out. Rooted out, okay?
Yeah.
إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهِ
حَقٌ.
Yes, if Allah promises something, it's gonna happen. Can you read it, recite it once, Hussein, and it will explain the tajweed points in your recitation.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأنجيناه والذين معه برحمة منا وقطعنا دابر الذين كذبوا بآياتنا وما كانوا مؤمنين
أحسنتم فأنجيناه فأنجيناه Yep. Hide the sound. Good job. You did it well. فأنجيناه والذين ناه والذين Sometimes students kind of make a pause. I mean, stretch the sound a bit. Like here, look. فأنجيناه والذين هو الذين no. فأنجيناه والذين هو الذين Quickly, you should join the words. Do not stretch the sounds whenever you don't have to stretch.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ Yes? وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ There is a tiny wow. Do you see that? مَعَهُ Huh?
Yeah.
What does that say, Hussein? Ishba'u Ishba'u means to fully pronounce it. I mean stretching it. Ishba'u ha'il damir. Ha is the letter ha. You see there? It's not a letter actually, it's a word. It's a pronoun. Ma'ahu with him. Who refers to him. It means him. Translates to him. So ma'ahu, stretch it. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ Look, this ha, we don't stretch it. فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ You stretch this one. بِرَحْمَةٍ مِنَّا رَحْمَةٍ Extend the sound of meme. You merge them, yes? رَحْمَةٍ You merge with meme. رَحْمَةٍ And what about minna? Huh? That's the same? Minna. You extend the sound, yes?
Yes.
And that's called idgham.
Yeah.
Rahmatin minna wa qata'na qa'ta. Are they heavy letters or light letters? If you remember, we said what are heavy letters and what are light letters. Huh?
Yeah, they're heavy.
Heavy letters. Light letters are those letters that when you pronounce them, you open your mouth. Horizontally. Ah. But heavy letters are the letters when you pronounce them, you should pronounce them with an ah sound. Ah. Qa, ta. Not qa, ta. Qa, ta, na. So na is light letter. Qa, ta. Heavy letter. Dabira al-ladhina kathabu bi ayatina. One question from Hassan. And I'm sure that's going to be the last point here. And Hassan, what does that sila tell us? It's a stopping sign for sure, but what does that indicate? Tell us, let's finish this.
It says that it's better to continue.
Better to continue, Sila. Good. But still, we can make a pause, right?
Yes.
So, كذبوا بآياتنا وما كانوا مؤمنين. You can extend the sound at the end. مد العارض للسكون. So that's all, brothers. Time to recite it once. Make sure you repeat after me. Listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
فأنجيناه والذين معه برحمة منا وقطعنا دابر الذين كذبوا بآياتنا.
فأنجيناه والذين معه برحمة منا وقطعنا دابر الذين كذبوا بآياتنا.
كذبوا ذا ما شاء الله. وما كانوا مؤمنين.
وما كانوا مؤمنين.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thanks for being with us in IRB English Radio. See you next session. Stay with us. And that's all from us for today. Wassalamu alaikum. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevier International Schools for cooperations. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور. آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines this hour.